my name is Ashley Jennings. I'm one of the pastors here. Normally, I have a co-pastor up here with me, Cody. He is in Montana this week. He's, I almost said photographing a wedding, but that's what I do. He's actually married somebody. He was the officiant for somebody, and his someone in his family. So he spent the week there with his family. He'll be home tonight, so you're stuck with me today. And I am excited to share with you today. So we are in week two of a series called In Step. Everyone say In Step. All right, and we this comes off of a series that we called Set Free, and so a lot of people really experienced victory over sin in their life the last month that we talked about overcoming sin, being set free from sin. And so this series is designed to help you understand, okay, now that I'm free, now that I gave it up, surrendered, confessed, got it all out, what now? How do I stay and live in step with Christ? You know, there's tons of verses in the Bible that talk about, you know, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? Last week we read John 15 and he says, abide with me, remain in me, and I also in you. We talk about this intimate connection with Jesus. And so we're calling that in step. What does it mean not to be near Jesus or kind of around him sometimes, or, you know, every once in a while I give him a glance, you know, every Sunday at 10, I'm like, oh yeah, this Jesus guy. What does it mean 24/7 to live in step with him? And so I'm going to have you guys open up to Ephesians chapter 3. In your Bible. If you don't know, Village Church has an app, and it's free. You can download it in the Android or iPhone store. Search Village Church AZ. There is a free Bible on there for you to look up as well. So you can go ahead and do that. I actually hear Bible pages turning. Like, what year is it? I'm amazed. Because they tell you in preaching class, you know, give them a minute to turn their pages in their Bible. But then now everyone's clicking on their phones. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if they're there. I can't hear it, but I could today. It'll also be up here. I'm going to read this to you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. This is Paul talking. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So there that is again, in Christ. He may dwell in you. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So Paul's encouraging the church here, and you notice that language, right? That the fullness, you may dwell in him, he may dwell in your hearts. And he says some really interesting things. This is just like a benediction, so it's the end of a letter. And he's just saying, okay, here's kind of the crux of what I want you to know. And breaking that down, I believe he's saying, in our terms, living in step with Christ is living loved. Living in step with Christ is living loved. Now you might say, what does that mean? Because he's talking about love in here, right? He's saying, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. He's connecting this idea of living in Christ with this understanding of living loved, understanding Christ's love. You know, I want you to know, it's different to know that you're loved than it is to live loved. Does that make sense? It's different to know, yeah, God loves me, kind of this universal truth. We know God is love. He loves us. It's different to know that and to live it. Amen? It's different for my husband to tell me, Ashley, I love you, and for him to demonstrate for that to me, right? There's times in our marriage where I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm just feeling that so tangibly, right? And there's times where it's like, love ya, right? You get off the phone, love you, bye. I'm not like, oh, I just feel so living loved, right? When he tells me he loves me on the phone every time. There's a difference. We understand that. You know, in John 15, he says, abide in me and you will remain in my love. He says, that's what it looks like. When you are in me, when you are in step with me, you are in my love. And we're going to break down what that looks like today. Now, I believe, now you might be thinking this is a basic concept, but I believe that love is the most important necessity to a human being. We are all thirsty to be loved, thirsty for love. God created us this way. The Bible says that God is love and that we are the loved creatures, right? We are created to be in relationship with him, to love him and to be loved by him. It's who we are as a people. We have a thirst and a desire for love and a capacity to love other people and things as well. And in that, I want you to know, I do believe that the enemy, his goal is to derail this need in your life. If the number one thing that you need, even the men in this room, okay, because we're not talking about just romantic love, even the men in this room, if the number one thing that you need is love, I believe that the enemy's number one goal is to derail you from the love of Christ. And I think he does this by trying to isolate us, make us feel unloved, you know, believing lies that I'm not lovable, I'm not worthy enough, I'm no good. He wants us to think that, to get us to question our value, our place in this world. What am I doing here? Do I even have anything to offer? Our identity? Without love, we are people that dwell in shame. We stay stuck in cycles of endless sin and destruction. And I believe that he likes to dress things up like love and tempt us with them, right? He likes to say, you know, this over here is kind of what love looks like, and let me just catch your eye with this shiny thing, and it can kind of gratify something for you quick, but on behind that facade is something destructive to you. Things like people, sex, money, drugs, food, addiction, whatever the world can offer you. And so when we're talking about love and that to know Christ, to live in step with him is to live loved, we also have to understand that us as human beings, this is like the ultimate battle for our soul, right? That we so easily are derailed because we're just so quick. I want it now. And there's different ways that we get derailed, but Jesus can redeem us from that. And that's what he says, you remain in me and you will remain in my love. You won't be derailed. That is a message of hope for us. And so I want to answer the question today, what does it mean to live loved? What does that look like? You know, we know Jesus loves me, but how do I live loved? What does that look like when I'm in step with him to put that into practice? So the first thing we see here that he points out, Paul points out in Ephesians, is that to live loved is to live unmoved. To live loved is to live unmoved. In 16 and 7, he says these things. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. He says these words, strengthened, rooted, established. These unmovable words, right? When you hear those words, you think, nothing's going to blow me away, right? If I'm strengthened and rooted and established. You know, I used to live in Santa Barbara. That was a glorious time in my life. Anyone ever been to Santa Barbara? Oh, it's just the best. It's just so great. Beautiful, beautiful city. And I used to live a block from the ocean. And so I would often walk down to the ocean. I'd swim in the ocean a lot. And over the time I was there, I realized the ocean and I have a love-hate relationship, right? I'm terrified of it. But I want to get in it, right? It's like the weirdest, like I'm going to get in there, but I know I'm going to die. You know, I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you like a couple stories. One time, you know, I have this desire. I'm an adventurous person. And so I like to swim out in the ocean. I'm not afraid with my feet not touching the ground. I am a little afraid, but I kind of like the thrill. So one time I'm out there and I'm swimming. I'm like, oh, I'm so cool. I'm like a Santa Barbara girl. Come back in and these guys are holding this huge shark. And they're just like, look what we caught out there knee deep. And they're just like, they were fishing for this ginormous 5 foot, that's as big as I am, by the way, shark with teeth and everything. And they're like, isn't this amazing? I'm like, I was just swimming out there with the shark. I'm never going in again, right? And then, you know, the next time I go, I'm not a good surfer. That's not something I can do. But boogie boarding is really fun if you've ever done that before. So I'd be boogie boarding. And if you, who's ever done that before? Boogie, okay, so fun, right? But do you know when you like just get a little bit too into it and then you get kind of sucked under the wave and you're like, I'm gonna break my neck. You know what I'm talking about? Or you hit your head like on the sand and waves are coming and there's sand in every which way, up your nose and everywhere else, right? That has happened to me many, many times. And I think when I was thinking about this unmoved versus the opposite of that, I was thinking it's kind of like a life lived in this ocean. Sometimes it can feel okay, like I'm just kind of swimming out here, but then if a wave comes or a shark comes or something comes our way, we're just derailed by it. If fear creeps in, pain creeps in. I mean, it's really difficult. The Bible talks in James about being tossed to and fro by the waves. And that's the image that I get when we are out of step, when we don't live love, that we're kind of tossed around and whatever happens to me, it just kind of derails my life, essentially. My circumstances derail it. I want to think about what it's like to live unmoved. Can you imagine if you were someone that said, you know what, I am strengthened, I am established, I am rooted, I am an unmovable person. I wonder what that would look like. When your feet are firmly planted in the right place, I'll tell you this, no matter what comes your way, you won't be blown over. When you are in step with Christ, when you understand the love of Christ, the value that you hold as a child of God, no matter what comes your way, you're not going to be blown over. You're not in this kind of ocean environment that no matter what happens, you know, I'm just kind of going with the flow. No, you know your place. I think of a tree with roots down in. The source of your nutrients, your very life is on a firm foundation. What's being poured into you creates this kind of tethered life to Christ's love. And so out of that, you can make decisions out of a place of trust. You are motivated by love first and foremost. It's something I'm learning lately. There's a lot of things that motivate us as human beings, right? Fear, anger, bitterness, greed. But the Bible says we are to be motivated by love. When we are rooted and established in Christ, we are motivated correctly. And when we're motivated correctly, our relationships are impacted, our lives, everything from the top to the bottom of our lives is put in its place where it should go. I want to ask you, are you someone that gets derailed? Are you someone that you would describe your life as like, yeah, it just kind of depends on the weather that day and the waves, if they're rocky or if they're smooth or if there's a shark in the water, if the boogie board's just right. Like, if anything goes wrong, I'm derailed. If someone cuts me off in traffic, well, there I go, derailed for that day. If my coworkers are difficult, if my kids are acting up, just the whole day for me is derailed. I picked up the girls from school the other day, and my Allison is such an emotional creature. She just is. I don't know where she gets it. I really don't. But it was so funny because I had warned them they hate going to town. They hate it. They literally cry when it's time to go to the grocery store. No, I don't want to go to town. They're like just so sick of it. So I warned them in the morning, like, when I pick you up, we're going to go into town for the grocery store. So she gets in the car, and she had this great day. She like had, I was in this good club at school, and I got all these, awards or whatever she had. And I was like, okay, well, buckle your seatbelt because we're going to town. Like derailed, like instantly, like, and then she's, she's 6 years old, so she's like, I just had the best day, and now it's ruined the whole day. It's just, I'm like, you are so gonna be an actress one day, because I literally don't believe you, but you're so, but we're like that, right? Like, we'll be fine, and then something comes our way, and we're just derailed, like, completely, and we come back, right? Eventually, it's hard. We got drugged through the mud and we're scraped and bleeding, but we come back, right? Because we know Jesus and he has grace for us. But he has designed us to live in step, rooted and established, unmoved in his love, that we don't even get derailed. Amen? Can you imagine a life unmoved? that no matter what happened, you can walk in step with Christ and trust. I love that idea, and I'll tell you, I've experienced some things in my own life where I've been derailed, and then I've experienced seasons where I am in step with Christ, and things just seem to happen. People just, you know, or people or money situations or whatever come my way, and it's okay. It's okay. It doesn't mean that I'm just a happy-go-lucky, but it means, but I'm okay. I have peace. I'm rooted. I'm established. Unmoved. Second, what does it mean to live love? Is to live beyond common knowledge. He says this interesting thing in verses 18 and 19. He says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts and rooted and established in love, you may have power together to grasp how wide, how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. He says this interesting thing about how when we know Christ's love, it surpasses knowledge. It's kind of out of our realm of understanding, right? And we hear this all the time, like, we can never really understand how much God loves us, right? We just can't. We're just human beings. We're finite. And so Paul's trying here, like, it's high and wide and long and deep. It's just so big that it surpasses our common knowledge. I really believe when you live rooted in Christ, when you live loved, that you live in, like, another dimension of reality, okay? Have anyone watched Stranger Things? So good. No, literally no one, get on Netflix. It's literally, okay, there we go. I'm like, it's so, so good, but it's about this, like, other dimension. It's a scary dimension, so I'm not going to correlate it too much, but when we live loved with Christ, it's like we live in another dimension of understanding and knowledge. He says it surpasses the knowledge that we have. And so when we live there, I really believe that our perspective is kind of on this different dimension, this different reality. You know, my friend Lisa just lost her husband, my dear, dear friend, young. He got cancer 12 months ago. I mean, like, marathon runner, healthy, loved Jesus, two young boys, and he got diagnosed and then died, like, just so quickly. I mean, it's the worst of the worst situation, right? She's got kids. She's a single mom. He was the leader in their family. When you talk about a good dad and a good husband, he was the one. He made the decisions. He was a brilliant lawyer. I mean, this amazing, amazing man led their family well. Lisa kind of took the lead from him, right? And then he's gone. He's just gone, just like that. Common knowledge, right, would tell you what about Lisa's state right now? It would tell you, well, if that, something like that happens, common knowledge would say that she'd be wrecked, that those boys would be wrecked, that their whole rest of their life now is ruined, and they got to figure out, what are we going to do now? What is this going to look like? And it's just going to be this hard road until the end. I'll tell you, I talk to Lisa every day these days. I'm going back there to do his memorial next weekend. And she says these things, and I've been writing them down because it's just so incredible what she's saying in the midst of her grief. She said to me once, she said, I won't ask God why. I don't ask when I get to receive blessing. Why would I start asking now just because it went away? What? How can you remain? I mean, that's what it's like to be rooted. I don't get to ask why. The Lord gives and he takes away, it says in the Bible. And she said, I don't know how to even pretend to understand what that means, but I sure as heck don't ask when I get to receive. So why would I start questioning him when it goes? She said, I hate this world without Brian, but God will use me to be a light to this world during this season. And she's doing this new hashtag, we can do hard things, with her and her boys. We can do it. We can absolutely handle this. We can overcome this. She said the other day, there is joy in every single day. I just have to find it. Even in the darkest days, there is joy. I mean, she's speaking these things to me, and I'm thinking, you are living beyond common knowledge, right? Amen? You're living because circumstances have come your way that, I mean, have wrecked, could wreck you for the rest of your life, and you are finding hope and joy and peace and comfort. That doesn't mean she's not on her knees crying often, right? Because it's just, it's a hard thing. But she is rooted. She is unmoved, and she's living in this different reality. I'm like, what reality are you living in? I want to get in that reality, right? Don't we all just want to make sure that we're somewhere, if something like that happened to us, that we would be okay, right? That if the worst of the worst comes our way, destruction, whatever it is, that we would live beyond the common knowledge and live in the reality of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that when the numbers don't add up in your bank account, when the diagnosis is grim, when the circumstances are going down the tubes, when it's all falling apart, you can live beyond the common knowledge. His love surpasses our knowledge. There's a reality offered to us that says, this world is not all that matters. The circumstances that come my way, this is not the end all be all. Today's deal that I have to kind of get through, that's not everything that it's about. Jesus has me. I'm good. I'm locked in on him. We're going to be okay. When we live loved, guys, when we live in step with Jesus Christ, that is what is offered to us. This altered reality, this real picture of this is what life is, not what the world says it is. Amen. I want you to know that when we live here, when we live in that area with Jesus, there's a perseverance that comes our way that we didn't know we had. I really believe that Lisa is kind of getting this strength from God right now, this supernatural perseverance. There's hope that this is not the end kind of thing, that's gonna get better. Hope is the feeling of like, it's not over though. Like, this is hard, but it's not over. My life is not over, it's okay. You know, she's even said things like, I just had to have a good cry today. I just had to have a good cry, and I wanna lay in bed, but I'm getting up, right? It's gonna get better, we're gonna be okay. That's amazing. There is a way in which we can navigate our lives that is not only just healthy for us, but is truly a light to the world around us. It's an amazing thing to experience. I know some of you have been through that with Jesus, where you've just experienced loss or grief, and you can look back and say, but he was there. He was there with me, and there was a different reality offered to me. When everyone else was like, how are you not freaking out right now? I don't know, I'm just here. I'm in step with Christ. I understand his love. The third thing here, to live love is to live filled, to live filled. In verse 19, he says about this, he says, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So when we understand Christ's love, when we're in step with him, he uses this language, that you may be filled. Okay, now I don't know about you, but I like cereal. Does anyone like cereal? Like, just, right? It's so good, right? It's so much sugar. But I literally had a bowl of Lucky Charms that was the size of my stock pot this morning. I mean, that's disgusting, I know. This poor child. But you know what's so weird about cereal? And Cody and I have talked about this before. It's like, I like eat this bowl of cereal, and then like 13 minutes later, I'm like, okay, but I'm really still hungry, right? I'm never full. If you have a cereal that keeps you full, like, send it my way, because I love the way it tastes, but I swear, like, right after I eat it, I'm starving. Like, I ate just 300 calories, but it's like I ate nothing, right? Empty calories. I'm not filled. I'm not satisfied. I'm not, you know, I'm still hungry. I still got to make up those calories somewhere, because my body is like, you need to eat, especially now that I'm pregnant. You know, but when we're eating correctly, right, when we understand this is how God made my body, and I probably shouldn't be eating Lucky Charms, all that, those marshmallows, as good as they are, those are not from the ground, right? Those are from a factory, and I don't think they're real. But So when I'm eating real food, it's like I'm satisfied. I'm totally satisfied. When I'm eating clean or what I should, I'm like eating way less and I feel good, right? I'm like, I'm fine. I'm full for hours. I don't need to be constantly eating, okay? This is what it's like to live filled with God. There's this thing in us, right, as humans, we're consumers, we just are. And when we live in step with Christ, and we understand our love, our value, we are filled. What is needed in us is satisfied, okay? So that means that if something comes my way, circumstantially or whatever, someone gets mad at me for something I didn't mean to do. When I'm not filled, ladies especially, this can be like a derailing thing, right? Someone's mad at me. Oh no, I gotta figure this out. Oh, what do I do? But when I live filled, I have right perspective and I can say, you know what? I don't know what's going on. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. Let me know if you wanna talk about it and move forward, right? Like that's just the picture that I got. When we live filled, we don't go out searching for lucky charms or whatever the lucky charms of our life. Right? Like, we don't go out looking for things in the wrong places. We're already filled. And that even means, I'll tell you what, I love my husband with my whole heart. I love him. He's just the best guy in the world. I love my kids. I'm so grateful. But that even means that if Matt's having a bad day and he's not loving me well, that's okay. I'm still filled. I can really not think about, your bad day is affecting me now. It can be more like, what's going on? It's all right. Like, let's get through it together. Right? When there's a difference between living filled and living on lucky charms, okay? When we live filled, we live satisfied. And I really believe, too, that when we're filled up with where we need to be, that we begin to pour out into other people, that it impacts the world around us, kind of this overflowing, cup overflowing idea, right? That is our goal, not to be takers from the world around us, not to look to external things to satisfy us or make us happy, but to give. And some of us, I just want to say this, I felt like this was on my heart in praying. Some of us need to move from that I'm a taker to I'm a giver season in our life, right? That I've just been so used to kind of taking from the world around me. And I don't mean like going and stealing, but just I'm looking around for what people have for me or what circumstances have for me. It's about me. I need, if it's not good for me, it's out. Like if it's not pouring into me, you know, I see these things on Pinterest, like only surround yourself with, you know, happy people or whatever. I'm like, that's impossible. Like, I don't know where these quotes are coming from, but the reality is that we're not always all happy, that the friends that I have, they're not always gonna be just so encouraging, right? So we have to move from taking to giving, to understanding when we are in step with Christ, we're filled, we're loved, and so it's okay. It's okay if the people around us aren't where they should be. It's okay if things aren't in place the way that I think it should be. I'm good. I'm satisfied. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. And I want to tell you, I know this is a simple but profound concept, to live loved. When we're in step with Christ, just say it again, we get to live unmoved. We live in this different reality beyond a common knowledge, and we live filled and satisfied. Now, when I'm saying that today, I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to some of you about the areas of your life where these are not the reality. Some of you in this room are easily derailed by life circumstances. And you just need to own that today. It's okay. What Sam said, you can come before Jesus. You can come and say, I'm kind of a mess. I'm living a derailed life and I want to get in step with you. I want to live loved. Some of us are living in this kind of worldly reality and we need to move into that love that surpasses knowledge in our lives. That no matter what's happening here, I'm in this reality with Jesus. The Bible says that we're seated with him in heavenly places. That is such an interesting verse. It's like I'm with him right now in heavenly places. I have access to God up here in this reality in heavenly places. Isn't that amazing? It's like I'm here, but I'm there. He's here with me, that I have access to him. I can come confidently before him. This reality is offered to us. And some of us are just simply not satisfied. And we need to own that today. I am not satisfied, and that is not God's fault. That is my error. I have been looking for satisfaction and things to fill me in the wrong places, and I want to step today into a relationship with Christ, back in Christ, so that I can be filled. Amen. I'm going to have you guys bow your heads. I'm going to ask you some questions just so you can respond today. I want to say first, this amazing love of Christ is offered to each one of us. Every single person gets offered this love of Christ. Nobody is exempt from it. That's an amazing thing. No matter where you've been, it doesn't matter if you have been in the church your whole life, if this is the first time you've ever come, if you don't really even have a relationship with Him, it's offered to you. The mistakes you've made, the failures you've had, it's offered. This life, this unmoved, knowledge surpassing, filled life is offered to you. Where Christ is, there is love also. I think right now, perhaps you're realizing places in your life, they're coming to mind, where you need to surrender, where you need to begin to grasp the love of Christ. Maybe you've been hearing the voice of God through an unhealthy filter. Sometimes we can put this filter up in our minds, this voice of disappointment, this voice of kind of condemnation that we're hearing. I think that's melting away right now, that you can hear His voice from a place of love. I want to encourage you, today is the day that you can take hold of this. It is a simple moment of surrender. It's a simple moment where you say, I'm done with that. And I realize now that you are the answer, and I'm going to step in with you. If you're hearing this and you're someone that lives moved, derailed by circumstances, and you say, I want that unmoved life, and I'm surrendering it, and I'm stepping in to relationship with Christ, would you raise your hand? Thank you. Awesome. If you're hearing this and you're realizing, you know, I've been living in this worldly reality and I need to take on that love that surpasses my own knowledge and step into the reality of living loved with Christ, would you raise your hand? That's awesome. Thank you, guys. If there's something in you this morning that you're realizing is just empty, there's a place in you that's empty that you need filled. I even get this picture right now of Jesus walking around with this giant pitcher, and we're all holding our cups out, and He's just filling it up to overflowing. Deep down in your soul, it's just filling up right now. If that's you, you're saying, I need an extra measure. I've got some of it in there, but I'm not filled up to overflowing, and I need that filled, satisfied life offered to me. Would you raise your hand? Thank you, guys. God, you're so good. Thank you, Lord, that you offer this so freely to us, that in a moment's notice, you can unravel a life, a season, a week, a morning of derailed living. God, you can unravel the web of a reality that we're living in that's causing us stress and anxiety and fear. Lord, that you can, in an instant, fill us to overflowing where we're lacking, where we're exhausted spiritually, where we're apathetic spiritually, where we're just empty. Lord, you fill us up. You're so good, and you're so worthy of our lives, and we're so incredibly grateful to have access to this right now. God, I pray that this next time in worship would be a holy moment, a moment set apart, or where you just do a work that only you can do, where people begin to hand over their ashes, trade them for beauty, hand over the brokenness, trade it for that inner strength established and rooted in your love. God, we're so grateful to be called your children. Would you move in this place now? Would you work in our hearts? I pray where there's people right now that maybe have a hardness of heart and they're thinking, I want it. My heart is hard. Father, I just know you have the capacity and the power to melt away a heart of stone, to reveal a heart of flesh. Would you do that now? We open ourselves to you. We just say, God, we believe you to do it. We know you're in this place. Lavish your love on us now, that tangible presence, God. We ask this, God, for your glory. We give you all the glory for lives lived unmoved, that live in places surpassing common knowledge. We give you glory for lives filled and satisfied. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.